Good morning. How good it is to be together in this place as we worship our God on this first day of August and this first Sunday of August. As always, I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. A few important reminders this morning. If this is your very first Sunday being back to in-person worship, we invite you to fill out one of the pew cards. It's a little card in the pew rack there. They are rainbow colored. We're simply trying to keep track of those who have returned to worship and those who have not yet so that Pastor Addie can stay in touch with folks. If you've been here before, don't fill one out again. Also, a reminder that now we are into August. The VBS kits for August are available back in the narthex, so if you have children or grandchildren to take them to, please make sure that you pick one up on your way out today. And also a reminder that baskets for the basket raffle are due 2 weeks from today on August 15th. Some have already begun to gather in our library. It looks like we're gathering a nice assortment, so if you've said yes, I'm going to be creating a basket, make sure it's here at the church by the 15th with all of its contents clearly labeled. And one final announcement. If you've been listening to the news, you know that things have been changing around us with regard to COVID and recommendations. You may have heard recently, in the course of this weekend, in fact, that now Montgomery County falls into the category of numbers moving in decidedly the wrong direction, and an encouragement to wear masks when you are indoors, even if vaccinated. We are not going to require you to wear masks, but we are going to encourage you from this point forward to wear a mask even if you are vaccinated. We do this for the safety of the gathered community. If you're struggling to wear a mask, we certainly understand that, but we figure those of us who are able, we can certainly do our part to make a difference. So keep that in mind, and we'll put a reminder in the Herald this week so that that is on your radar. Now I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep breath. As we breathe in God's presence among us, and as we let go of those things that are weighing heavy on our minds, that may cause us to be distracted, that may take our focus away from being here in this place, in worship and in community. May we sense God among us as we worship now. Amen.
Thank you.
bread has long been a symbol of what is most basic and necessary in life. At its best, bread is nutritious, substantive, delicious. At its worst, it's tasteless, full of empty calories, and the cause of a variety of health-related issues. In Scripture, God chose to reassure the Israelites of the ongoing presence of the divine by raining down bread from heaven, manna. Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life and likened the bread of the Passover meal to his body, which would be broken so that all might be made whole. Today, we will break bread together as we share at Christ's table. No, we will not literally break bread, because those tiny little wafers that are in those plastic-wrapped communion elements you got as you arrived would be hard to break. But breaking bread has become our way of describing what we do when we come to fellowship and eat together. The bread for us as people of faith is a reminder of life, the life that has come to us because of Jesus, who lived, died, and was raised again so that we might know life in all of its fullness. Longing to be fed by Christ, longing to have our deepest needs met, we enter now into worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in choosing to come into this world in the person of Jesus, you provided us with everything we need in order to experience abundant life. As our loving shepherd, your Son Jesus embodied compassion and care. As our light, he showed us the way. As the true vine, he taught us the fine art of bearing fruit. And as the bread of life, he continually reminds us of what is truly life-sustaining. Sadly, we often look elsewhere to find much-needed nourishment for our souls. We allow ourselves to become caught up in what the world tells us we need, then feel disappointed and empty when our deepest longings are not satisfied. Forgive us, most merciful God, and fill us with an unquenchable desire for the sustenance only you can provide. This we pray in the name of the one who is and always will be our bread of life. Amen. Friends, God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. For this gift of forgiveness and for the challenge to share it with others, we give thanks this day and always. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. And our gospel reading today is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set the seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent you." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from the heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." As always, I have a special message for our children. I don't see any out here right now, but I do know that some listen at home, so plus I think it's a message we can all enjoy together. This morning, I brought with me a bag full of treats. So it's really sad that there aren't kids here. Well, sort of. It's sort of a bag full of treats. Let me show you what I've got, and you can tell me what I've got in mind. All right, I've got some eggs. And I've got some butter, and I've got some sugar, and I've got some flour, and the most important ingredient, chocolate chips. So, what do you think I'm making? Cookies? That's right, cookies. So I plan to mix all of these ingredients together and then put them in the oven and bake them and then take them out and let them cool. The one problem, though, is I don't know how much of these ingredients to measure out. And I don't know how long to bake them in the oven. And I don't know how hot the oven should be or how many cookies it's supposed to make. What does it sound like I need? A recipe, that's right. I know all of you have followed a recipe at one point in your life or another, whether it was for baking cookies or baking bread or cooking a meal or even putting a piece of furniture together. You all need a recipe or some directions to follow. Not only are they helpful in making sure that your treat turns out perfectly, but the thing that I think of every time I follow a recipe is how amazing it is that they take all of these pretty basic and simple ingredients that aren't very tasty or interesting on their own, except for the chocolate chips. And then they combine them and teach us how to turn it into something different, something better, something delicious, like cookies or cakes or brownies or bread. The word recipe came to mind today as I read our scripture lesson because in it we hear Jesus say that he is the living bread or the bread of life. Now, I know he didn't say anything about baking cookies, but hang on, I think you'll see the connection. What do you think Jesus means by saying that he is the bread of life, the living bread? Well, just like bread helps to feed people, maybe Jesus is saying that he helps to feed people too. Or maybe when he says, I am the bread of life, I am the living bread, Jesus is saying that just like bread is made and baked with a recipe, the good life that he lives and that God wants us to live is made with a recipe too. In the Jesus stories we read in the Bible, we see Jesus live an amazing life, not always easy, but pretty miraculous, full of God's love and forgiveness and healing. That life we see Jesus living, that's that living bread, that bread of life. And that bread and that life, they're made from scratch, so to speak. That is, Jesus' life, which fed and feeds many people, is made up of a bunch of different ingredients. Ingredients like prayer, knowing and sharing the stories of our faith, helping those in need, standing up for people who need a friend, and worshiping and giving thanks to God. In fact, those ingredients and that recipe for a good life are exactly what Jesus taught his disciples and is still teaching us today. Now, on their own, the ingredients of prayer, worship, learning from the Bible, acts of kindness and love, they might seem not as exciting or disconnected, kind of like flour and milk and butter and, well, no, not chocolate chips. I'm leaving those out. But when you mix all those things together, you get something that is so much better and so much richer. You get a good and full life that God intended for us, a living bread kind of life. And just like cookies, that kind of life is a great thing to have, and it's also a really great thing to share. So next time you hear the line in Scripture about Jesus being the bread of life, or any time you read about or learn about anything that Jesus says or does or is, I hope that you think about him gathering those ingredients all throughout his life of worship and prayer and love and kindness and listening and teaching the stories of our faith. And then I hope you think about him using all those things to bake up a life that satisfies the hearts and the hungers of many. And most importantly, I hope that you'll be inspired to do the same. God's good life of love, forgiveness, and healing, which is what Jesus means by living bread, is meant to be enjoyed by us and shared with others, just like cookies. So that's the good news for today. So let's take time to pray now, and then we'll join in saying our Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us the recipe for living bread. That is a life filled with love, forgiveness, kindness, and healing for ourselves and our friends and neighbors. And thank you for providing all the ingredients we need to create it. As we seek every day to combine prayer and worship and the stories of our faith, help us to enjoy and share it all with others along the way. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we know that you are here among us, wherever here might be. We are listening for you. We need a word from you to guide our living, to guide our decision making, to help us in the journey of life. So open our ears, our hearts, our minds, that in the midst of my words, your word might be clearly heard. Amen. The smell of fresh bread baking is one of my all-time favorite smells. No doubt because it conjures up images of comfort and warmth, special occasions, and perhaps even loved ones. But not even the best bread in the world can compare with the living bread that is ours in Christ Jesus. Bread that comes to us because Jesus has opted to give himself to us and for us, who can satisfy our deepest needs, our most intense longings, in ways this world never can and never will. But before we focus on this living bread, about which we read in today's gospel lesson from John chapter 6, I want to take a few moments to focus on the Hebrew scripture lesson that happens to be paired with today's gospel lesson. It comes from the Old Testament and once again focuses on King David. And if you've been following along the past several weeks, you know that we have been with King David as he helped Israel mourn the death of Saul and his son Jonathan. We were with King David as he led the procession as the Ark of God was relocated to Jerusalem. And then King David as he proposed to build a magnificent building for God, but God said no. And today as we encounter him, he is unfortunately at his worst, not his best, and has chosen to satisfy his hunger for things other than bread, in ways that are destructive and hurtful. You see, our gospel lesson today is paired with the story of King David and his encounter with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. You may recall the story. Uriah was off leading the armies of Israel in battle, his wife home alone bathing on the rooftop when David spots her and decides he wants her. And because he's king, he can have whatever he wants. So he sends his men to get Bathsheba. And what follows is not simply an indiscretion or men being men. Let's call it what it is. He rapes Bathsheba, and as a result of it, she becomes pregnant. Now the dilemma gets more serious because Uriah knows he is not the father. He'll figure that out very quickly. So what does King David do? He makes sure that Uriah is put on the front line of battle where he is most likely to be killed, and he is killed. David, satisfying a hunger in a way that leads to death and destruction. Yes, the consequences for his actions were swift and serious. He didn't end up in prison, but he would never, ever fully bounce back from this episode. And thankfully, he would never, ever hurt anyone in this way again. But it is an illustration of hunger, human hunger, that goes awry. And we don't just read about it in the Old Testament. We read about it in the New Testament, and we experience it in life today. As we shift our gears to our gospel lesson, yes, it's about bread, but it's also about people hungering for something more than bread. Let's put it in a context. You may recall that last Sunday we focused on Jesus feeding a huge crowd of people, over 5,000. And once they realized what power Jesus had, they sought to seize him and make him king, which prompted Jesus to slip away into the mountains to be alone by himself. He sent his disciples on ahead of him. And when he joined them, there was the crowd again, pursuing him, unrelenting, because they recognized that he had power. Jesus knew why they were pursuing him. They wanted him to be their king. The crowd had become an ad hoc search committee for the next political leader. And they were following Jesus, not because they wanted to be among the believers and join in his work. They were following him because they recognized his power. They wanted that power. They wanted to harness it to use in their own way. But Jesus, as I suspect you know, is not someone easily harnessed. Jesus did not want to be used, nor would he use his power in a way that the crowd desired. Jesus did not come to win over the crowd. Jesus came to repair, to redeem, to restore a broken world. Some people choose to join church because they want to be on a winning team. They want to have access to power. That's what pursuing faith is for them. But that's never what Jesus intended. Pursuing Jesus isn't about being on the right team. Pursuing Jesus is about doing the right thing, and about living life in such a way that there is enough for all. Jesus knew why the crowd was following him. He knew they were following him because he had filled their bellies. But he wanted them to understand that full bellies eventually empty, that human food does not satisfy. And so he said to them, "I have something more to offer you. If you come to me, you'll never be hungry again. If you believe in me, you'll never be thirsty." Now I'm thinking for the person who lives with food insecurity, never knowing from one day to the next where the next meal will come from, these words may not sound particularly reassuring, because these are persons who desperately need concrete, tangible bread, bread that nourishes the physical body, and living bread. Bread from Jesus is not enough. It's hard to hear about living bread when your stomach is grumbling. It's hard to understand the value of living bread when you don't have enough to eat. But see, here's the thing. Those of us who have enough to eat, when we've encountered the living bread, know that one of our primary jobs is to make sure others are fed. Sadly, we live in a food-obsessed culture, a bread-obsessed culture, where some have more than they need and some don't have enough, where food is used and abused in a multitude of ways. Sometimes food is withheld to punish people. At other times, food is offered as incentive or presented as a reward for good behavior. And then there are the food cops, those who decide what it is right for you to eat, or whether you've had enough to eat, or too much to eat. And there is shaming and blaming surrounding food, shaming and blaming that God never intended. There are those who seek to feed themselves to satisfy hunger that has nothing to do with nourishment. And there are those who deprive themselves of food because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel good enough. Jesus said that is not what bread is all about. In fact, when we understand the recipe for the living bread, we treat bread, the bread we eat, differently. And we treat others differently as well. You see, in the eyes of Jesus, we are all worthy to be fed, every single one of us. We all have access to this life-giving bread. It isn't just for some and not for others. And this life-giving bread reminds us that we are valued, that we are forgiven, that we are loved, and that we are beautiful because we have been created in God's image. And each one of us matters to God. Bread, life-giving. When we gather at Christ's table in just a few moments, we will experience the best bread ever. Not because it has come from some fine bakery. In fact, it will be those little wafers in your plastic-wrapped cups and containers. But it will be the best bread ever because it speaks to us loudly and clearly of the life that is ours because Christ has given life for us. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, Jesus said. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, whoever turns to me, whoever enters into relationship with me, whoever dares to believe in me will have the life that really is life. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this verse reads like this: the person who aligns with me hungers no more. The person who aligns with me hungers no more. That is, the person who is on my side. Do you align with Jesus? Are you on his side? I will always remember reading the story about President Abraham Lincoln as our country prepared to enter into the Civil War. One of his top advisors said to him, "We should pray that God will be on our side." And Lincoln responded by pointing out he was not at all concerned that God be on his side. His greatest concern was that we be on God's side, aligned with the one who is for us the bread of life. You want to experience the best bread ever? Then dare to align yourself with the one who offers us this bread. Dare to align yourself with the one who is life-giving, the one who is forgiving, the one who is there for us day in and day out. Because once we've experienced the best bread ever, we will want with all of our hearts to share bread with those who need it. May we align ourselves with the bread of life, so that we might be life for others. Amen.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have a few joys and concerns to lift up so that we might hold them in prayer as we come together in prayer. Our joy, Kim Berge celebrated a birthday this past week, so we celebrate with her and her family. And a few concerns to share. We continue to keep in our prayers Rich, who is the neighbor of Amy and Andy Faga, as he continues to fight and struggle following several surgeries. So prayers of strength for him and healing, and sustaining prayers for his wife, Barbara, by his side. Judy Lederach has been in the hospital, so we continue to surround her with our prayers of healing. And Barb Gassler passed away last Sunday, so we keep in our prayers her family, including daughter Ange, her husband Ed, and granddaughter Juliana. Barb's service will be held here on August 7th, that's Saturday. Calling time is from 2 to 3, and a service at 3. Bearing in mind that we all come to this time of prayer and this place with our own joys and concerns and worries and celebrations on our hearts and minds, I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together. Loving God, your Son Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Here we are, O God, disciples, coming together in a spirit of prayer, seeking the nourishment we feel when we are connected and truly fed by you. God, it is easy for us to go through the motions of our faith. We want to do and say the right things, but we often find ourselves seeking after things that are empty and make us feel just as empty. We hunger and thirst for something that will sustain us through the times of our lives, joys, concerns, troubles, celebrations. We chase after things that will disappoint and hurt and look past the very thing that will heal and cleanse our lives. Remind us, O God, that your love is the bread of life, that your Son is the living bread, manna from heaven, which was and is sent to feed and sustain us in all the wilderness places in our lives. Help us to stop running after things that are quick and easy. Help us to look truly for the one who will quench our thirst and nourish our souls. As we lift up names of people and situations that lay heavy on our hearts, help us to remember that just as we are connected with you, we are connected with one another. And we stand together, continually in need of your healing grace. God, we lift up in prayer Kimberly as she celebrates a birthday. We surround Rich and Judy with prayers of healing and wholeness. And God, we think of Ange and Ed and Juliana and all who knew and loved Barb as they mourn her passing and celebrate her life. We take time now, O God, to draw from your nourishment as we lift up our silent prayers to you. Draw us closer to you, O God. Open our hearts as we hunger for your loving care, compassion, and presence. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ, who feeds us and sustains us. Amen.
We pause now to dedicate the offering that you have so willingly and generously brought and shared. We give thanks for your continued support, which enables us to continue to do the work God has called us to do. So join with us now as we sing the doxology and give thanks for God's gifts. Please be seated. As we prepare to share communion, since this is a bit different than we have done it in the past, we just want to make sure that everyone, when they arrived this morning, received the communion elements. If you did not receive communion elements when you entered, or if you need gluten-free communion elements, we have one of our hospitality team members here ready to come your way. All you need to do is raise a hand. Did everyone receive communion elements? Okay, right over here. Dick did not get any. And Scott, yeah, we want to make sure that everyone gets taken care of. And right over here. This is not our usual way of doing things, but some of you who were present for Easter morning in the park became familiar with our little plastic wrapped elements. And while we're making sure everyone gets the elements, just a note, when we finish with communion this morning, we're going to ask you to take those little containers. Don't lay them on the pew cushion, okay, because little drops may drip out. The little rack that is intended for communion cups, I experimented with this. They won't fit in the hole, but if you just set it on that little rack, they'll stay put there, and we'll collect them later. Okay, trying to make it as easy as possible and trying to be resourceful and creative in the midst of things. All right. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. No matter where we are celebrating communion today, whether it is here or listening to the service from the safety of one's home, we know that Christ is with us. The reassuring words are that where two or three are gathered, Christ is in our midst. This is Christ's table. And we do come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to be fed living bread, to be fed in a way that this world never can feed us and never will. As we come to this table, let me remind you that all who hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer are welcome. Whether you are young or older, whether you have come to this table many times or can't remember the last time you shared communion, whether you are full of faith or full of questions and doubt, if you hunger, if you long to experience Christ, you are welcome here. Jesus essentially said the same thing to his disciples as he sought to feed them amid a Passover meal. In the midst of that very familiar meal, Jesus took bread. And after he had given thanks for that bread, he broke it. As he broke it, he said something they had never heard him say before, something they would never forget. He said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, after Christ broke the bread and shared it, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it and blessing it and before sharing it with those he loved, he said to them, "This is my blood, poured out for you. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus did pause to say grace before sharing the gifts, so I invite you to join me as we do the same. Loving God, we come to this table hungry and thirsty for the life which only you can provide. God, we ask that you meet us here and bless these gifts of bread and cup, that as we eat and as we drink, we might be nourished to be living bread in the world. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As we prepare to share the bread, I invite you to turn your little cup in such a way that the bread is on top. You'll peel back the little layer that is there, and you'll find the little wafer inside. As we share this little wafer, may it be a big reminder to us of the one who feeds us and fills us, a body broken so that we might be made whole. Remembering this, we take and eat.
And as you flip over your cup and carefully peel this back, I will remind you that this is, for us, Christ's blood. A small little sip to remind us of the abundant life that is poured out for us each and every time we share this. Remembering this, we take and drink.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are so good to us, feeding us as no one else can. Now that we have been fed, our responsibility is to go out into your world and feed others with food, with bread they desperately need, and with the good news of your love and your life. May we have the courage and desire to do that today and every day. This we pray with thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen. As you go forth today, here's my hope, that the next time you see a loaf of bread or a chocolate chip cookie, you will remember what we talked about today. I think you have been sufficiently breaded. Now, the challenge is to go and be the bread of life for others. As you do, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you, and the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.